B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Bert Breer of the MMQB is with us.
It's actually like I never even thought about like how sad it is that the song's like sort of dead now.
Oh, no.
No, it's still playing.
It's alive and well.
Hardy fixed it.
Playing it right now. We just fixed it.
You can't even tell. It's seamless.
Smooth.
I know. I sound just like that guy.
Oh, lightning. Oh, boats lightning.
Hey, say they ruin the whole thing.
It's electric.
I'm telling you, I said that to somebody the other day. I'm like, I sort of want them to win to see the parade.
Do you not have a parade?
Nobody will go.
What would the parade be?
Or who's going to go to
it? Let's have it in San Diego for the people. Like Ray Bourque. Like, they brought Ray Bourque here to have a parade.
And what would they do? Like, when the Ducks won, wasn't, like, the parade, the Anaheim Ducks, like, parade was, like, around the parking lot or something?
Yeah,
it was something like that,
there was,
wasn't
like,
it?
20 people.
That's what they should do in this case.
This could be worse than that.
Will
be worse than that.
You don't have
go to the soccer stadium and have like a rally.
There you go.
See if you can get 5,000 people to show up.
Or like
that's
maybe,
what you'll do.
Philip Rivers' family will be there, so that'll be a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's a lot of people right there. Bert, Philip Rivers, is he a lock for the Hall of Fame?
I don't think he's a lock. I think if we go down the list, like who is a lock right now? Right? Like Brady, like this era, Brady's a lock.
Yeah.
Peyton's a lock.
Yep.
Rodgers is a lock.
Yep.
I'd say Breeze is now a lock.
I agree. That's four. Roethlisberger, I believe, is.
Roethlisberger, I think, is in.
That's five. How many more are we going
now,
to put in?
And I think once you get past that, like it's like, all right, now we're talking about almost 20% of the league, like almost 20% of the quarterbacks in the league at one time. It's like, I think you almost have to raise the bar.
You have to because of the way the game has changed and the way the numbers have inflated
over
the last 10
years.
So
this is the part where
the 4,000-yard passing season is no longer a thing.
So
you know, it's just
considered a down year, actually.
So Philip Rivers.
No, Brady threw 4,000 this year. How do people view his year?
Not good.
Philip Rivers is in all these categories as being top 10. Top 10 in passing yards. Top 10. And I say, well, what does that mean anymore?
Right.
It doesn't. I mean, all right. So if you go
it
to.
It means something, but it doesn't mean automatic access to the Hall of Fame.
Well, this is easy. You've just named all the Super Bowl quarterbacks.
So
I mean, it's Super Bowl's the bar.
And then if you went to a sixth, would you go to Eli first or would you go to Phillip Rivers first?
I'd go to Phillip Rivers.
Career passer rating right
now. You would.
Okay. I'm gonna read you guys the top 20.
So you don't value the winning as much.
I value
the winning at this position.
All right.
Because there is more
on this position
than any other position on the field as far as wins and losses.
I think this list will tell you everything you need to know about how the numbers have changed, okay? Top 20 all time in passer rating, right? All time. Number one, Aaron Rodgers. Number two, Russell Wilson. Number three, Drew Brees. Number four, Tom Brady. Number five, Tony Romo. Number six, Steve Young. Number seven, Peyton Manning. Number eight, Philip Rivers.
Who's next? I love this one. Who's next?
Kirk Cousins is number nine.
Kirk Cousins.
What list is this? What list is this?
Passer rating. All time
passer rating.
Career passer rating. Kirk Cousins and Philip Rivers are next to each other on the list about passer rating.
You take your passer rating and stick it up your rear.
Matt Ryan is 10. Ben Roethlisberger is 11. Kurt Warner is 12. Joe Montana is 13. Chad Pennington's 14.
Passer rating.
Andrew Luck is 15. Marcus Mariota is 16.
Matt Schaub is 17.
Yeah. Matt Schaub is 17. Colin Kaepernick is 18. Derek Carr and Andy Dalton are tied for 19th.
You all consider with your little
Dan Marino is 30th.
I got into this one. All time.
You know who's 21st?
21st is Nick Foles.
I mean, it's so. And I think passer rating is not like normally when you look at passer rating, like in a normal year, it does make sense. Like, it's normally in the right order or some semblance of the right order. So I don't think it's a bad metric. I just think it's the game's changing. The numbers aren't the same as they used to be. If you go back and you look at, like, a good Joe Montana season, like an MVP-level Joe Montana season, like, it's not going to be as good statistically as 10 quarterbacks
you,
now.
You so, just got to come up with your – I'm sorry, Beto, but for me, I would come up with my own metrics, and it would start very, very easy. Like, how many games did he play? And
how many years did he play?
How many games, right?
Yeah.
What's the record in those games? Let's just keep it real simple. Right. He doesn't have control over all this. I know. What's the record? Right. Is he above 500, below 500?
Right. Like, this is a Testaverde argument. I don't look at Vinny as a winner, but he's got great stats.
How many? What's his touchdown to interception ratio? Give me an idea of what kind of quarterback he was. How many times did he win?
Even the touchdown interception ratio is, like, way out of whack compared to what it used to be. Way out of whack. Like, if you pull up, now I'll pull up Montana.
28-14, 28, like, for example, and I know what you're going to do here, but I remember when I was
2-1 used to be.
If you threw 28 touchdowns or even approached 30 and you had 14 picks, that's a hell of a year.
Yeah, 2-1 was the gold standard.
Joe Montana in 84, which was a Super Bowl year for him, 28-10. Okay. 88, they won the Super Bowl that year too, 18-10. Like, that's a bad year now.
Yeah.
Like, and that was he won the Super Bowl that year.
That's Tannehill.
Right. Now, he's MVP of the league 26-8, which 26 is, like, a pretty good, like, now, touchdown passes, right? Like, not great, like, pretty good. So the number, like, you can't apply the numbers the way you used to be able, like.
It's a double question. How long did you play and when did you play?
And 1A,
and then you take everything into consideration.
And one thing that's going to make it even harder is, like, okay, like, now we look at, like, Cam Newton. Russell Wilson, where you have to throw in, like, what they did as runners, you know? And Cam Newton won an MVP. Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. Is Phillip Rivers in over them? I think it's going to be hard. Like, there are, I think, a handful of obvious ones, right? Like, I think we can all agree, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are all in. Roethlisberger, I think, is, like, Roethlisberger's a little closer to the mean, but I think he's in, too.
Listen, if Roethlisberger is a, for you, up in the air.
It's a conversation.
And it's a conversation. Then Phillip Rivers is out.
Yeah. If that's the case, if that's your bar. But and everybody's entitled to their opinion. But you understand what I'm saying when I watch Rivers play as opposed to when I watch Matt Ryan play. Like, I'm looking at a guy, it seems like this guy loves the game. That this guy he got fire that I would love sitting there for 3 hours.
He came in here and played on a torn ACL.
Thank you. Yeah, people forget that. Got operated on the week earlier just to stabilize it.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been
a lot of tough players in the history of the NFL. You don't get in the Hall of Fame for that.
See, Grogan was tough.
You know what, though? Like, part of it is that the circumstances around him have been kind of sideways for a long time. Like, he came into a very good team. Like, his first 2 years as starter, like, an excellent team.
They're
like
a wagon.
06 and 07. But then from there, everything like got off center.
Yep.
They hired Norv as the coach. Like, the last couple of years were bad there.
Who was the Tebow guy they hired? That clown.
Yeah, I mean,
what's his name?
Who
the young kid?
Tebow?
Didn't they hire? He developed Tebow.
Tom House?
No. McCoy was McCoy.
Oh yeah, Mike McCoy. Yep.
It's like he had him.
McCoy was. I mean, it's and they got old in certain spots, and the roster wasn't.
And they're gonna move the team.
Bert, who are you picking to win this Sunday's game?
I picked the Patriots because it's hard for. I love the Chargers team. I hate their circumstances. Back and forth. West to East, 10 a.m. body clock game, 2 weeks in a row. And that team has been through so much. So if anybody can handle it, it's probably them.
But they're already talking about it 1 minute after the
it's
game.
A better, so it's a better.
It's in your head.
It's a better roster.
I don't even think
it's arguable. I think there's like a decent gap between the two rosters.
So why don't you pick them? Why aren't you picking them?
Because I just.
Can't trust them.
I don't
trust them.
I mean, like,
why
that,
don't you trust them?
Sounds stupid.
Why don't you trust Phillip Rivers, great quarterback, to go out there and win his team a game in a big spot?
Because he knows the game. It's, you know why? Everybody's
because
got a gas tank.
You
at
know
some point
what
that
Phillip Rivers
out.
Is. That's why the
but,
history
but
matters.
But you're hanging on Rivers.
That's
but
why, you know, but you know that's why the history matters, Greg Bedard. Like, that's why it matters.
Why don't we go back? Why don't we go back to that game in Pittsburgh? And Rivers really showed me something that night. They were down 13 on Sunday night. Like, it's just like there's a look to this team that's a little different. I just haven't seen it on the play. Like, and you saw it last week, and I think for three quarters, and I talked to Anthony Lynn about this after the game. It's just like, like they took their foot off the gas at the end of that game, you know, and they should have. And that was like there's just like that
it's
was
like,
a little,
it's like Jacksonville being up here.
That was
know,
a little
two
bit
scores,
of a red flag.
And
you know
they,
what I mean?
They took
like,
their foot off it.
Like it was just they should have. I mean, look, Lamar Jackson was terrible, and they let him off the hook at the end of the game. Like, yeah. Everything that they did the first three quarters, they stopped doing at the end of the game.
I don't know why. They went to prevent. It's just stupid. Stupid.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Up.
Six one seven 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 nine zero 98.5. Burt Breer is with us. Patriots Chargers coming up on Sunday. Let's go to your phones. Chad is in Medford. He's been hanging on. Hey, Chad.
Hey, hey, what's up, guys? I would like to see the Patriots, of course, get the lead. And the way that San Diego uses the defense with more safeties than linebackers, that kid throwing James is dynamite. They're going to have to run the ball, I think, early. I look for a big game out of Burkhead, White, all of the running backs, and Sony Michel. I mean, and then it'd open up the play action for Brady to go to the old Tom Brady, you know, hit the open receiver, the best receiver. And I look for Tom to have a good game. I think he's hurt, and I think he left some plays on the field because he was hurt. He should be hanging there more. Yeah. This one, which is going to do or die. And
what
I
about Hollister? Would you throw the ball to Hollister on the backside?
Hollister ain't even playing, is he? So
yeah, he's on IR. Good job. Good job, baby. I'm just testing you there. I saw that from Reese yesterday. Oh, bad news. Patriots lose core special teamer. Core special teamer? Don't you have to play? Don't you have to be active to be a core special teamer?
Yeah, that has to be something that you have to do regularly.
Regularly. You have to not be on the side of a milk carton. Like, I got tired. Like, oh, guess who's an active game? Oh, Hollister. Oh, it's a hammy. Oh, it's a back. Oh, he punctured his lung. Oh, he broke his neck. Like, Jesus, wrapped the kid in bubble wrap. You know, dependability is ability.
Did you see the little back and forth between Greg Bedard and Kerry Byrne yesterday on Twitter?
Oh, was it a film fight?
Yeah, just run the ball.
Wasn't a film fight, Bert.
It was pretty good. F this.
Yeah, there was a bit of an F
bomb. Bad.
Oh, hold on. There was a profanity.
I'm a connoisseur of tweet beef.
Oh,
so.
His tweet. here's how it started. Kerry J. Byrne at Football Facts tweeted, "When a guy like at Greg Bedard tells Mike Felger the Patriots have to quote run the football to win." It sets football analysis back 75 years. Ooh. So bleeping cliche, lazy, stupid.
You going to take that, Greg?
Hold on.
You think Bedard's going to take it?
He tagged Bedard. He tagged Felger. He tagged the Patriots, Felger Maz, Tony Maserati, the Sports Hub. He made a tag. He made sure he tagged everybody. And so Greg Bedard responded by saying, "What's wrong with saying they need to be effective running the football? Go ahead. Throw it 50 times. See how that works out for this group." And then Kerry sort of backed off a little bit. He said, "All good. The established the run cliche just drives me nuts. LOL." Nah, come on. You're not actually laughing out loud there, Kerry.
You're not going to be able to do it in this game, too, because Maz said Michelle's going to be knocked out by
He said, quarter. "The Patriots, like every team ever, will win or lose on passing efficiency, regardless of how well they or the other team runs the ball. In any case, enjoy your spots with Felger and Maz. Talk soon." Okay, this is where I tend to diverge from the football stats crowd, like Kerry Byrne. That he's right? Passing efficiency, ultimate statistic, it's very important, all of that. You have to take into account that what you do in your play calling can impact how well you're throwing the football. How you run can impact the passing game. And that seems to always get lost in this.
So like, cliche.
Oh, useless. Passing efficient. So, well, yeah, that's a statistic, but what, like, can the running game impact that in any way?
Do you know, like everything that, like, you see McVay doing in L.A. and Shanahan doing in San Francisco that everyone wants to copy, you know what that all is? That's all marrying the run game to the passing game. All of that is, like, everything that they do is off of play action. Like, there's some sort of run action on almost every play that the Rams and the Niners run. You can't do that unless you can threaten with the run game. Like, you can't do that unless Todd Gurley is a major problem if you're just playing the... You know, it's just,
but I would agree with the premise that you can't win by running the ball.
No, you can't
win. You can't run with the... I get it. I get what Kerry's hint is getting at.
But you need balance. You need balance, though. You need balance.
Sometimes you do, depending on the team, depending on what you have. For this team right now, I think they need it a little more than most.
Right.
That's what I would say. So for this team, I think it applies. So I think these guys maybe do agree more than they want to admit. But Kerry Byrne coming in hot, baby. Coming in hot. Lazy. Stupid.
That's a dark
cliche.
Shot, man. That was
great. Shot across the bow.
You're gonna go at him, boy.
Mark is in Vermont. Hey, Mark.
Hi, this is Mark in Vermont.
Hi, Mark.
So, which one of you was it that doesn't believe Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer?
Did none of us?
I didn't say that.
I don't think anybody.
Well, he's
that.
In. So
yeah, he's in.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine then. Okay, never mind. So let me see here. So Bert, you're on, right?
Yeah.
He's here.
All right.
What's up?
All right. So you agree with me that Philip Rivers is a future Hall of Famer, correct?
I think he's close. I think it's close. I think it's very.
Right. Well, he's probably going to win a Super Bowl, right? You know,
I mean,
to get in.
He's the only guy who's
got... that's what we do when we talk Hall of Fame now. Oh, he's probably going to win, so therefore he's in.
He's got three or four years left.
Probably got
to
win one in order to get in.
I think you can make
such a bad call.
I think you can make a case for Philip Rivers.
It's a technical show for safety.
Right, let's just all assume Philip Rivers is going
to
win a Super Bowl.
No, but what he meant to say, and he corrected himself, was he probably has to win one to get in. If he wins one, we're having a completely different conversation.
Totally different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
very
so
different
far,
conversation.
But
so far,
he's been to one conference championship, which he lost.
Mm-hmm.
Not just him. 53 guys coaching, blah, blah. At some point.
At least he played in that game on an ACL.
On some level, it has to matter. And it when you've got everybody throwing the ball all over the field, when you've got how many guys that
rock.
We look at as being good quarterbacks in the league right now that 15 years ago would have been, or 20 years ago would have been locks for the Hall of Fame. We could probably come up with 10 guys right away playing in the league in the last 2 years that would qualify based on their numbers. Things have to change. Parameters have to change. The bar gets moved. It gets set higher. And other things like wins or Super Bowl wins or rings take more of a precedence because the game has changed, literally.
Gil is in Johnston. Gil.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think you have to take in consideration what Hardy was saying. You have to change the way you weigh as far as like the Hall of Fame because just because you win a Super Bowl doesn't mean you're a Hall of Famer because, like, Eli's done it, but then
there's
other years kind of sucks, you know? And, like, there's other guys that put up numbers, but they don't win anything. And my other point is, do you think Philip Rivers is better than Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson? Because those guys have done more things than he has.
Oh, you're bringing two other guys in that are different type players.
But the point is, when you haven't won, you've got to do something that's extraordinary.
I think that's fair.
And I don't think Philip Rivers has done anything that is extraordinary in his era.
I mean, at the end of this, like
Dan Marino was extraordinary for his era.
At the end of this, there are going to be guys who've won Super Bowls at that position who won't get in. Like Joe Flacco, I do not think gets in.
Phil Sims.
Eli's borderline.
Phil Sims is a Super Bowl MVP. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Jim Kelly's lost four straight. He got there, but he lost four straight. They didn't hold that against him. He's in.
Right. I mean, Mark Rippon won one. He didn't get in.
Like, that's extraordinary. You got your team to four
straight.
It's
not hard to find them. Like, they're there. Brad Johnson won one.
Oh, yeah, I just think that when you're...
Trent Dilfer won one.
When you want to throw that out there, you should throw out someone who is better than Brad Johnson or Trent Dilfer. That's why I went with Phil Sims.
That's going to be so cool to be Dilfer.
Phil Sims at least could, like, you make a case.
Yeah, he had a healthy winning record. He was, well above 500, he played for over a decade.
Is it better?
I think you're right. I think if you've won multiple, the bar to get in like lowers a little bit, right? Like the bar is a little lower for Ben Roethlisberger than it is for Philip Rivers. The bar is a little lower.
Yes,
for Eli May because they won twice.
Think about that with Dilfer though. There is nothing like getting to the pinnacle, getting to the game, the stage, the Super Bowl, and winning it as a quarterback. You won the Super Bowl,
right?
It hurts him because now I go to a rental car place. Here, give me my ID. You're Trent Dilfer. You're that quarterback that stinks that won.
Yeah.
Like, you're not viewed as like a Super Bowl champion. You're viewed as, they won in spite of you.
They won with Trent Dilfer.
It sucks to be Dilfer. Right?
It's like a badge of honor for the defense, right? Like it was a badge of honor for
MVP.
That defense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave is in Lynn today. Hi, Dave.
Hey guys, just real quick. I think Bledsoe belongs in the Hall of Fame, and I think he's better than Rivers. I think he had way more like you call it those Hall of Fame moments, like on Monday Night Football where he breaks his finger, brings us back.
He's
against
done
the
more.
Dolphins.
It's regular season. Yeah. No. But even we went to Super Bowl 96-97. Been to the playoffs. If you're gonna qualify, playoff appearances, AFC title.
Yeah,
games,
but we're working on now. Like this is 13.
Now we're getting
years
silly. And then, by the way, if you're putting in Bledsoe, you have to put in Phillip Rivers.
And you got
to
put Tessaverde in.
You got to put a lot of guys in if you start doing that.
That's what we do.
I don't know. I think Phillip Rivers, like, I look at him and he won with a bunch of different players, right? Like, he won in circumstances that weren't great. Like, and when the biggest mark against him, I think, is what happened in 06 and 07, where he had, like, super teams around him. And in 07, he was playing with a blown-out knee.
Not even that.
Against an undefeated team, right? In the AFC Championship game.
On the road.
With his running back. With his all-pro running back standing on the sideline.
And I just remember being out there, too, in San Diego. That year, we talked about, you take the team from Green Bay, you stay out in San Diego, and how pivotal that game was. He was on his fourth or fifth center that day.
Yeah,
that was the Brandon Browner when he knocked that guy out coming across. And Rivers took a beating that night out there in San Diego. There's something to be said for starting over 200 straight football games in this league at that position. There's a certain element of toughness you need to have. And I don't think it's ever been questioned with him.
No, you never question.
There's different levels of respect I think you look at Rivers as opposed to another guy. And that's why I hold him above a guy like Matt Ryan. That's all. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. If I got to choose a 22, I'd put him in the Hall of Fame instead of Matt Ryan.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Bill Belichick is going to have his press conference probably in the next 10 minutes or so. It will begin down in Foxborough, scheduled for 11:45. So we'll see if he makes it there on time. When he does step to the podium, we will go to him live.
Nice.
617-779-0985.
Real quick.
Yeah.
What did he rename the intern? Our new intern?
Josh. Josh. The intern. I haven't actually had a conversation with him yet.
So I had a nice one earlier today.
I got to go say hello to Josh, the intern.
I went in. I got a little chuckle because you walk in and see the intern. And
Jorge.
The hair. And he's like, my entire family now is calling me Jorge to the point. Let him talk. What happened with your...
Boy.
What'd your mother say to you?
Day two, we're going to give him the microphone. We're gonna
put him on
the microphone.
Put him on the mic.
Look at that. Now you got to scramble.
Why is this chair
so I'm trying to talk to Foxborough here. Hang on.
Oh, boy. Jesus, Chuck. Here we go.
That's
important. Sports.
Zoe ended up saying that I looked like a mini Andrew Luck. So my dad got all mad at my mom when she had relations with Andrew Luck.
His parents listened.
But that wouldn't make sense because I'm only 20. So
it just hit me as I sit here and I admire him through the glass.
Plus Andrew Luck was a very mature 9-year-old.
His hair. The hair and the way he combs his hair. He is no longer Jorge. He is Carlito from Carlito's Way.
I don't think I've seen that either, so that's 0-2 on movies with you.
Well, it doesn't really matter if you've
Carlito
seen it.
Carlito sort of works.
Carlito works, but...
Go and touch the head.
Yeah, no, I think
it's either that or you're Vinnie Barbarino or...
No, I think it's Christopher. It's Christopher
Moltisanti
from The Sopranos.
I'll take that. I love The Sopranos.
Would you shave your face for that? So
yeah.
You look more like Christopher.
Could you start, want me to.
Could you start doing heroin to kind of further complete the look?
What's wrong with you?
What?
Parents won't like that one. I can shave the face.
What if you ate ketchup packets? If I brought another Italian-looking fellow
in next
to you.
Let you run around the woods for a
couple
days.
Would you suck ketchup packets and pretend you were cold?
Do you want me to?
But we're also going to have to hit you in the side of the head with a shovel.
This kid gets it.
Well, hit him with a shovel and make him eat ketchup packets.
Let Jim talk to Foxborough, then he gets all excited talking to Foxborough.
We need to have Josh the intern on more. Carlito.
Yeah, just snippets.
Yeah.
You give him too much and then...
No, I'm saying, as in this will happen again.
Yeah.
This will happen.
I will not hesitate to go to the intern again and comment. Or most of the time, I kind of just hush them off. Get over there. Stay over there. Stay out of the way. Something intriguing about this kid. I don't know. The fact that 3 days a week, he drives basically from Newport to here just for an internship.
Not afraid of the microphone.
Turns me on.
All the other interns are afraid of the microphone.
They are.
God.
Of course, they're terrified.
Brian
wasn't.
Terrified of it.
Brian wanted in here on his last day. Yeah. He wanted to do a whole segment.
It took him a while to build up to that.
It's like...
Yeah, he didn't have anything
prepared.
This is
Carlito's second day.
Remember when Tom was intern?
He's ready to go.
He still talks the same way. Like, I haven't talked to Bob.
I've never talked to Tom.
Tom who?
T-Bone. Hey. I've never spoken to him. How many years has he been here?
Like eight?
What is the longest sentence Tom has ever formed?
Hey, how you doing?
All the statements are like four words.
But you see the Carlito effect.
I tell you,
Tom's the longest sentence Tom's ever uttered. I don't need a spot.
I'm going to take the over. That's as long as I'm going to take
five
the
words. Hey, buddy, you need some help there? I don't need a spotter. Bert.
He's trying to ignore us, I think.
No.
When you look at this Patriots-Chargers game on Sunday, where do the Patriots have an advantage over the Chargers?
I think, like, we talked, and I hate to say, like, say what Greg said yesterday, but running the football. I think, like, that's what everything that you built up in that Jets game through December, like, everything that you, all the time and effort that you invested in trying to establish Sony Michel and the running game, I think this is where you try to cash that in.
I think there are times, too, people laugh at the amount of money they use on special teamers or core type guys. Like, I just made fun of the Hollister stuff. You consider a core special teamer.
But
these are those type of games where I think the special teams have been trending the right way for them to wear.
And the Chargers,
I know King's a good returner.
The Chargers have struggled, too. Yeah. Like, they had the pump blocks last week. They've missed field goals. Like, they...
3 points or 40 yards in a game like this can mean everything.
Right. Like, the Chargers have two areas the Chargers have really struggled over the last 3 or 4 years. One is with injuries, and the other is on special teams. There's no question they've had their issues there, so it could.
Patterson return to the 50 on the opener would just get the place going.
I mean, look, they've had, and the Chargers are smaller up front, too. So if you can't take advantage of that with the run game, I think you're going to be in trouble. Because if you've got Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, and I know a lot of people are going to look at that and say, well, those are edge guys, right? Like, and they are. Brady's typically been able to eat those guys up. They move those guys inside.
Right.
They like Gus Bradley, to his credit, has really evolved from, they're not just a Seattle defense. Like, they do a lot of different stuff. And I think, like, Bosa and Ingram become a problem if you're not running the ball very well, because then they're moving those guys inside, and that middle pressure against Brady would be an issue.
617-779-0985. Again, we're waiting on Bill Belichick. He will step to the podium momentarily in Foxborough. Let's go to Mike, who's in Billerica. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
Hey, Zo, you're looking sharp with those shades. But
thanks, brother.
Just had a quick question. I've been noticing the refs have been letting the DBs play in the last couple of weeks, and I really don't understand. You know, beginning of season, they were throwing every PI known to mankind. And also, I don't know if you saw that play where San Diego's at the one-yard line at the end of the third.
Yep.
And they were right on the goal line, like inches away. Then they came back, and they were a foot away.
I don't understand. They were an entire yard away. I don't understand that either, because you could tell it's basically right at the edge of the plane of the goal line. And you're talking about the what that I thought was a touchdown out in the flat where he rolled over. I don't know how that got marked back to the one, but I just think you get to the playoffs, you have mixed crews now. These are all-star crews. These are the guys that graded out well. Who is it, Ron Torbert we have this week? I think we have Torbert.
Yeah, the all-star crews can be a problem, too, because sometimes they're not having work together.
Instead of me being the game, I'm just gonna lay out here.
Right.
Just let it play, which I think is good. You know, but...
Oh, they certainly let him play last week. Like, that Chargers-Ravens game, like, they let a lot of...
Who's that benefit, if that's the way it goes?
I would go Patriots. If you have a bigger receiver, you could combat him.
I think it does. You've got a way to make up...
If you can be handsy and play...
That helps JC
Jackson. JC
Jackson
is the first guy that comes to mind.
Yep, grab and pull and tug.
You've got a way to make up for the size difference. You've got a way to sort of go after that.
And they're built like a basketball team.
When I ask that question about, you know, where do the Patriots have the advantage, I think they have to have the advantage in that they, let's not say shut down Phillip Rivers in the Chargers offense. They've got to slow them down. And I think they're capable of it.
Yeah.
I think they're capable of holding them to 17 or 20 points.
Right.
And so I think that's how they win the game. I do. And the Chargers defense is not which is why I wanted nothing to do with that Baltimore matchup. I really just didn't want that.
I think this is a tougher matchup than Baltimore would have been.
All around it is.
Like, because I don't think, like, Baltimore...
Defensively?
I don't think Baltimore's offense would have been able to do
that. Defensively, what's a tougher matchup?
Defensively, Baltimore's better defensively.
That's why I didn't want them. And I agree with you. San Diego's a better team.
Yep.
Well, you know, they've got an offense. They've got more than just an offense. They got a good offense.
Yeah.
This is where I think the Patriots can win, because I think they can stop them. I think, look at the points allowed at home by the Patriots defense, home and road.
Yeah.
Like two different teams. Home. Ready? 12, 17, 7, 10, 3, 20, 24, and then 40 to the Chiefs.
Yeah. Like,
they're not giving up 40 on Sunday.
I don't think they'll give up 40. I think part of the formula that you're talking about is slowing down the game, and you do that with the running game, right? You limit the amount of times that they have the ball, and then it's about – it comes down to winning three or four possessions, right? Like, if the rest of the game's even, it comes down to winning three or four possessions, which I think – like, the way this game – I think the way this game will be played is, like, I think you're going to see the Patriots forcing the Chargers to go 12 and 15 plays and betting that when they get down low – that they're going to be kicking field goals and not scoring touchdowns.
So an opponent has scored more than 20 points at Gillette this year twice. 24 by the Colts early in the year. And then that Chiefs game.
Yeah.
This defense, I know the competition at times has not been great when you're talking about the Dolphins or the Jets.
Right. But now, I would say this. The flip side of it is the Chargers, I believe, are 9-0 on the road because the London game was a home.
8-1.
8-1?
8-1. They've lost one road game.
Who'd they lose to?
I can tell you. Give me a
moment.
I can tell you exactly who it is.
Like, I will say that they're, like, there's a certain like toughness to the way that they've, like, you look at what they went 6 weeks without playing a home game.
Their one loss was at the Rams in L.A. So that's not even really, you know, that's not a far drive.
It's more of a home game than the London game was, that's for sure.
But, yeah, they've got...
And that was close, right?
At like, the Rams.
That one was close.
Yes, it was. It was 35-23.
I just think that... Like, so what I said earlier when I said I'm picking the Patriots, there's every reason there to believe that this is a different Chargers team based on everything that they've been through the last 2 years, right? Like, they've been basically homeless for 2 years. They spent 6 weeks of this season without playing a home game. They spent a week in Cleveland. They were in London. They've been through a ton. And so I think that that's built toughness into who they are. I want to see it on this stage.
617-779-0985. We're waiting on Bill Belichick. He is going to be stepping up to the podium any minute now in Foxborough. Bill Belichick is powered by the Oakers Company, New England's premier technology and audiovisual solution provider for over 97 years. Visit OCKERS.com. That's Oakers Technology for tomorrow. Just let us know when he's there, and we will go to him. In the meantime, we can grab one of your calls. Will's on the Cape. Will.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Hi.
Good. How's Cape?
Good. I'm talking about the game on Sunday, and I think the Patriots have a big advantage of stopping the run with Melvin Gordon being injured and the weather being a factor. Since if you have to travel from Southern California up to the Northern New England, I mean, it's a big advantage. I mean, although the Chargers are traveling on Friday to New England, it's still not going to help them. It's going to be like...
They played in Baltimore last week, you know.
It's 52 degrees.
Yeah, I mean...
It was?
From looking at Baltimore, I mean, it was a little warmer in Baltimore, but New England, it's going to be snowing.
Yeah, how many feet are we getting?
You know,
Eight feet? 9 feet of snow?
So I thought that changed. It's 29 degrees is the high. It says no, like 0% precipitation.
What are you looking at now? What website are we on?
I googled Foxborough weather, and then that's weather.com.
That's
though
never one to trust.
Trust weather.com.
No,
actually, yeah. Are you like an AccuWeather
guy?
No,
I think you got to go with one of the local meteorologists that know how the weather, you know, sort of works in this part of the world.
I've been asked to go on a Weather Channel on Skype to go back and forth with them.
I thought it was last night they wanted you on.
Belichick's disdain for weather people and can't really pick the weather. Can't trust no meteorologists. And you know,
he compared Casserly to the weather. Man, right?
Yeah, I can't trust anyone.
Right.
Yeah, a report of snow, you know.
Like, there was that time he took the shot of Casserly simultaneously.
Well, that guy never got anything
man.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, when's Charlie Casserly ever got anything right? Just like the weather people around here.
Jesus.
But I mean, this is when the bleep hits the fan this time of year because I get all these weird requests. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
People you never talk to, this is so-and-so from the Weather Channel. Would love to have you on Skype tonight.
Local.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Here's the local forecast. The local forecast.
How much?
28 degree high, 0% precipitation. So the locals agree with weather.com.
Who's the local there?
This is WBZ.
Okay, yeah.
That's E. Fisher, yeah.
But
yeah.
is that like, let me see.
So there you go.
Yeah, see, that feels like it's computer generated.
You're like really. You're well, trying to.
If there's a
you're trying to
there.
Like will snow into.
No, I'm not. In fact, I'm making fun of all the people who are. I think you're going to watch like a video. You're going to hear them tell you.
I'm waiting for Channel 7. They get everything right.
You have to have like the Doppler?
Well, it could be hit or miss.
Like you need the Doppler.
It could be hit or miss. And
so like if you see like the Doppler, it's like, oh, well, those are sort of close. Like, that storm.
Bert, you know how it works. You can get 6 inches or you can get none at all.
That's
right. Saying. Depending on where the storm goes. Of course, that's where So's Mine goes. I have a preferred meteorologist in town. I do have a preferred guy.
Can't name him?
Yeah.
Give him a shout out.
Harvey. Harvey is my guy.
All right.
That's who I go with. We send it to Foxborough. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, brought to you by Oakers Company, now at the podium.
A lot of respect for their coaching staff, their players, the team, the way they play, and what they've accomplished this year. So be a big challenge for us.
Well, you mentioned the other day that it's a disciplined defense that Bradley's coaching there, these guys. How does that show up with their defensive ends? I'm wondering, with Bosa and Ingram, obviously talented guys, but does that show up with those players as well?
Yeah, they're hard guys to deal with, but everybody's where they're supposed to be. They play multiple personnel groups, even though it's a similar defense, and you can interchange those people in and out of there. And they do what they're supposed to do, they're where they're supposed to be. Make it hard to successfully move the ball and score points.
Do they move Ingram and Bosa around, or is they just let them do whatever they need to do? Because they're a bad dynamic.
Yeah, depends on the game plan, depends on what front they're in, what group they're in, depends on what down it is. So sometimes they stay, but they're not always in the same spot. No.
What are your thoughts on how Phillip Rivers has played this year?
Plays great. Very accurate. Obviously, a smart guy. Offense runs through him. Handles things at the line of scrimmage, makes good decisions with the ball, uses everybody, as he always does. He gets the ball to everybody, all the receivers, all the tight ends, all the backs. It's very, very efficient, makes big plays, good in situations, third down, right area. Just really good. Outstanding. Hard guy to tackle.
Yeah.
Big, strong guy, has a good feel for the pocket, knows how to use his blockers. Kind of Roethlisberger, same type of thing. He's good.
He's the prototypical dropback quarterback, which this year it seems like you guys have faced mostly mobile quarterbacks. He's facing more of a stand in the pocket type quarterback, a different challenge for you guys on defense.
Yeah, played Roethlisberger a couple of weeks ago. See our quarterbacks out here every day. Look, everybody's got good skills in this league. Whatever they are, that's what we have to play against. Yeah, they do a real good job of that. They do a good job of game plan and trying to force you into looks so they can tell what they are. So that would be part of the game.
Mentioning Roethlisberger, is that how he's hard to tackle? Is that sort of the comparable there? Or was it more the passing?
Yeah. Both good pocket quarterbacks.
Do you see any similarities with Williams and Allen?
Williams.
Wide receiver.
Was two. Look, they have a very good receiving group. They're big, they're fast, they're hard to tackle after the catch, they make big plays down the field. Both the Williams are, I think they're averaging about 15 yards a catch, something like that. Benjamin's obviously an explosive guy, can score from anywhere on the field. Keenan Allen's as good a receiver as there's in the National Football League. Big, quick, tough after the catch, hard guy to tackle, very good route runner, exceptional route runner. Great hands, concentration, so... I mean, they have a great group of receivers, good group of tight ends, good group of backs, and he uses all of them. So it's not one guy you got to stop. Clearly, Allen's been the most productive receiver, I mean, by far, but, I mean, I don't take any away from any of those other guys.
With Rivers, you played him a whole bunch early in his career, probably a little less later.
players evolve as they get older. Is he the same quarterback, or what's that evolution been like?
He's good. He's really good. So he's played in different systems and so forth, but right now he's playing extremely well, again, with a good offensive team, good offensive system with Coach Lynn, Coach Wisenhunt. They're a good football team. He does a great job of orchestrating around the offense.
Bill, prior to the year, did you see the Chargers making the jump that they made this year, going from 9 wins to 12 and where they are now?
Yeah, we were 9-3 last year.
Did you anticipate them ascending to where they are this year from the team you saw last year?
They were 9-3 last year. So, doesn't really surprise me to see him go from 9-3 to 12-4 and say it's a big jump. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't know.
You guys promoted Steven Anderson to the active roster. Just wondering what traits he showed for him to earn that promotion.
Yeah, he's done a good job. Obviously he hasn't had a chance to play, but he's done a good job for us in practice. And put Jacob on injury reserve, so I don't know. See how it goes.
Versatile type tight end? Does he move around to play mostly in line?
We'll see. I mean, he's done multiple things. He hasn't been active for us for a game yet, so.
What has Derwin James brought to this defense this year?
A lot. This guy's a tremendous football player. He's good at everything. He usually plays around the line of scrimmage. I think he leads their team in everything, tackles, assists, pass breakups, interceptions, whatever, big hits. He does play away from the line of scrimmage at times. He's good back there, too. He's got good range, good speed. He's long. He's hard to block. Very instinctive. Good tackler. Good blitzer. He's good at everything. He's a good player.
So the Chargers won with that 7 defensive back look last week. How much experience does your offense have facing that kind of a look?
It's the same. It's within kind of the same system. I mean, they played mostly 6 DBs against us last year, so they've been doing a lot of it this year. They went with the 7th guy against the Ravens, but it's been a lot of 6 defensive backs the last, I don't know, month or so. Jatavis Brown played a lot in their 60 back system, so they just kind of replaced him, with a die, the safety. Came from Miami. Jenkins. Jenkins didn't play down. Jenkins played back. Dye played down, but it was essentially the same defense with a Dye taking Brown's spot.
Bill, as they played more dime towards the end of the year, how was their run defense held up despite the lighter front?
Yeah, well, they're fast. All those guys are fast, so they pursue well. Defensive line's very disruptive. They have a good front. Those guys make a lot of plays. It's hard to get the linebackers, whether it was whoever it's been in there. They've played, I don't know, about 6-7 linebackers this year. But it's a problem getting them because their fronts have been so effective. It's hard to get past those guys up front.
Other than the obvious physical traits, what makes Gordon so special?
Yeah, he's big, strong, fast, got good vision. It's hard to tackle. He's got good patience, uses his blocker as well. He's got good speed, so he can attack from sideline to sideline, but he gets downhill. He's tough in line. He's a tough guy to tackle. He's got breakaway speed. He's got home run ability. So he's had a bunch of big plays. Some in the running game, some in the passing game, screen passes, check down routes, and runs. So whenever he gets the ball, I mean, it doesn't really matter how he gets it. Once he gets it, all their backs are a problem. They have good backs, good depth at that position. Sometimes they play 2 of them in a game. Usually it's just 1, but sometimes they have them both in there or have 2 of the 3 in there. They're halfbacks. I mean, they have fullback too, but the 2 or 3 halfbacks. And just another way to attack the defense, put more good players on the field.
That is Bill Belichick, powered by the Oakers Company, New England's premier technology and audiovisual solution provider for over 97 years. Visit OCKERS.com. That's Oakers, technology for tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.